Been a lot of talk about how the city's information technology directorate is run, how our information technology office is run, how we contract for those services. Do you have any thoughts about how you would conduct your government to avoid these problems in the future? Mr. Antaramian.
Well, I think the issue comes down to is, again, management and how you put things together. As far as the computer and issues going with the data collection, data material, that is something that the city has hired a staff to do. I'm not looking to make any major modifications until we know what is going on with some issues that have been raised on that situation. And so it would be inappropriate to try to anticipate what you're going to do until you know all the facts on that.
Do you have a response, Mr.
Yes,
Johnson?
Yes, it would be inappropriate to wait to see what the data says if you didn't know how to implement technology in your business operations. As a professional with over 11 years of experience and over the height of the economic crisis, we turned to technology. My generation grew up with technology. We know how to use technology. We don't need to wait for some report to tell us how to implement it. The city of Kenosha has been operating for far too long in the 80s, the 90s. We've got to implement. The calendar says it's 2016. It's time we move into the 21st century.
We have a question from an audience member that's quite interesting about the topic, and it's not a new topic, probably. Why is it necessary for the city to hire outside consultants when we have talented people on our staff? Mr. Johnson?
I completely agree with that. We should not be hiring consultants when we have a staff of professionals. The city of Kenosha is $200 million in debt, and we didn't get to be $200 million in debt by making insignificant expenses. It's the cumulative effect. And if you take a look at all of the additions of consulting fees, like the ones that my opponent, John Antamaranian, collected, when I've been speaking about collecting $158,000, but we have no evidence of anything that he did. There's no documentation, only that he submitted 69 invoices. I don't think we should have those type of consulting
Didn't
fees.
You vote for that contract?
The contract that we voted for was in August of 2014. It was an extension of his original contracts, which started
in 2010. Did you object at that time?
I was unaware that at the time he was. I was unaware at the time that he was sitting on a committee that, in my opinion, violates 946.13 of state.
Well, according to the district attorney who released a letter just today, the district attorney, Robert Zaff, basically, in layman's language, says that if you had read the statute, you would know that was a frivolous suit. Now, I'm balderizing it, but that's basically what the DA said.
Sure, Len. He didn't say that. What he said was it was his opinion that 946.13 doesn't apply to my opponent. But there's 100,000 people in the city. Not a single person expected Bob Zaff to make a decision that was going to incriminate a buddy who he campaigned with previously. Nobody is expecting Bob Zaff to do much of anything anymore. He's lost
We're not going to impugn Bob Zaff here. Mr. Antaramian, would you reply? We're not going to impugn Bob Zaff here. He's not here to defend himself. Mr. Antaramian, will you reply?
Excuse me, sir.
Mr. Antaramian.
You gave his name. You gave his name and you spoke on his
but
behalf.
But he can't. You're criticizing him and he
I'm
can't
criticizing
defend
the
himself.
Words that you've said.
Mr. Antaramian.
You know, through this whole campaign, I have tried really hard not to go after anyone individually. And I have regrettably been subject to lies that my opponent has thrown out at my family and myself. And to be very honest with you, it's very tiresome, Bob. It would be nice to have a campaign where we actually talked issues, but you just don't seem to be able to talk issues. You take statistics and you distort them. You take parts of truth and distort them. I have never seen, in 26 years of campaigning, an opponent who distorted and did not tell the truth as much as you do. And I wasn't even going to say that today, but after what you just did, I will. Shame on you. Shame on you for the whole concept of what you have done. You've made a mockery of the election. You've tried to make it so that other people look bad because you wish to look good. Your record is yours. Stick to your own record as to what it is. And if you want to talk about debts and everything else, I'm more than willing to do that. Because it's not debt. It was investment in our community. We created hundreds of millions of dollars worth of jobs, or hundreds of million dollars worth of tax base, hundreds of thousands of, now you got me going, thousands of jobs for the community. Those are the things that we did. This community is better off today than it was in 92 when I took over. And it will get, and we will continue to move forward. But your concept of destruction of individuals, your ability to not be honest is just downright frustrating. And to now attack the DA because you don't like a decision he made, shame on you.
Mr. Johnson, will the audience please refrain? Will the audience please refrain? Mr. Johnson.
I think an applause is appropriate because I think he should be awarded an Academy Award, although he just missed those from a couple days ago. The reality is that the data that I use is empirically correct, and I make no apologies for talking about his big spending appetite. The things that he did were not appropriate for the time, and I don't think that the city of Kenosha should be ashamed of the fact that I'm highlighting the fact or the things that he did when he served as mayor. Now, the reality is this. We want to talk about the district attorney disagreeing with my complaint and dismissing it. But if you had read what he had actually wrote in there, and he didn't bolderize it using your own language, what you would have found is that had you done any investigation on this, Mr. Aquinta, you would have found that there's a district attorney in Madison, Wisconsin, who provides a completely contrary decision. He says that people who sit on committees are actually subject to 946.13 and held by those requirements. I serve as a volunteer for the Redevelopment Authority for the City of Kenosha. If I serve on that commission as a volunteer unpaid, which it sounds like that's what Mr. Zaff was relying on, that somehow or another I'm immune to the requirements and regulations of 946.13. That is not the case. The difference between Bob Zaff's opinion and the opinion that I have in my possession
Have you published that opinion?
I have.
Can we see it?
Three different times. The Kenosha News has it, but they haven't chosen to run with that story. Here's the other thing you need to know. The difference between that district attorney's opinion and the opinion of Bob Zaff is Bob Zaff doesn't consider district attorney out of Madison doesn't know John Antermanian. He hasn't campaigned with him, and he's not his buddy.
His jurisdiction? Whose jurisdiction is it?
It's not a jurisdictional issue. It's an opinion. Certainly, he doesn't have jurisdiction. He can't come in. But the reality is I've been able to produce an opinion from somebody who's not a friend with the insiders, and that opinion supports my argument that 946.13 applies to people who sit on boards, people who sit on committees.
If John Antermarine was any other— Who is the person in Madison that we're quoting here?
The district attorney.
Do you have his name?
I'm sure you could look it up. I submitted it to the Kenosha News. Okay. But the only difference is that this district attorney doesn't know John Antermaranian. Bob Zaff knows John Antermaranian, and people are sick of this type of thing, people protecting people. He broke the law, and I think he should be punished to the fullest extent allowable by law.
Have you ever signed a complaint, then, against him for that purpose?
Yes, he has. He has signed a complaint. And, in fact, Bob, you need to understand, because I am getting very tired of this, that your comments now, after you have been informed that this is not an issue, calling me, again, a criminal, opens you up after this election is over, and we will talk after this election is over.
I'm not going to allow you to intimidate me into silence because you have been ripping off the city of Kenosha taxpayers and the state of Wisconsin. I'm not going to allow it to happen.
You have been intimidating everybody and anybody who disagrees with you.
Well, let's move on to another question.
You've gone after the press, you've gone after us, you've gone after everyone. Enough, Bob.
This is what people like about me. They know that I'm not going to be backed up.
Well, let's go on to another question.
There's been a lot of criticism of your background. By anybody who is a insider or somebody who wants to protect sweetheart deals. I've made it very clear to all the insiders, I will not be licking the boots of any organization in this city for the first time in a long time. I'm going to be on the side of the city of Kenosha taxpayers, and they're going to have somebody on the ballot they can support.
You're filibustering, Mr. Johnson. Now, what I'd like to know is what your response is to the complaints that people have made about your background. I know you want to answer those complaints, so I'd like to give you an opportunity to do so here.
What are the things that is out there? There's ammunition that my political adversaries want to use, and I've been the first person to admit my path to success hasn't been graceful. I don't hide from it. People love that. But people want to talk about what was going on when I was 17 years old, 18 years old, 27 years old, 26, whatever the number was. I'm happy to do that because in 1999, when I was 17 years old, after only 6 years in office, my opponent had already doubled the city's debt. That's what people want to talk about. In 1999. You want to talk about 2007? I'm happy to do it. Let's go to 2007. By 2007, he had already tripled the city's debt and doubled the city's property taxes. Those are the things that people are interested in. Now, the folks who have they picked their horse in this race, my political adversaries, this is ammunition they're going to be using. Smear campaigns happen all the time. If we were electing people based on smear campaigns, our government would have a very different look about it.
It is fascinating how someone who has, my father used to say people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. Bob, you throw lots of stones, and you really shouldn't. And that's all I'm going to say about your background, because I don't care about your background, to tell you the truth. You're not that important. I will tell you, though, however, that this concept of I double taxes, I was mayor for 16 years. And in 16 years, if I had been doubling, if I had doubled taxes, how many people do you think would have been voting for me? Not very many, Bob. And I had elections. So that's first. But secondly, the state law limits what your expenditures can be. So our expenditures were right in the area of inflation or a little better. Now, we doubled the value. But that's not doubling property taxes, Bob. And you've talked about property taxes. So let's go, let's start with that. Then we'll go to debt. We definitely invested in this community. And I'm more than, I'm very proud of the things we did. I have no qualms of standing in front of anyone and saying, we did Harbor Park. We did a whole bunch of brownfields. And we had to put money in to make them happen. I'm proud to say that we built two brand new industrial parks. Again, I have no problem saying that. You want to blame me for that? Be my guest. Blame me.
I'd like to go into some of the campaign issues that have been brought up with respect to quality of life in the community.
The first question I'd like to ask is a couple of the comments that he made a moment ago.
Well, I'd like to change the topic if you don't mind.
Well, I think it's important you allow me to talk about. He challenged what I've been talking about.
Briefly,
when we talk about
please.
The property taxes went from $19 million to $38 million. Now, you don't have to be a scientist or a mathematician to understand that if you charge a city tax.
It's very – I haven't looked at his numbers, so I don't know. But if it did – that's not the property tax bill. And that's what he's talking about, is the property tax bill. The property I know enough about how this functions, Bob. The property tax bill did not double. There is no one in this building who can go back to 1992 to 2008 and show a tax bill that's going to say it doubled. No one. You cannot say that. That
what you're doing is using a number.
$19 million
in 1992.
You're using a number that is not.
You're interrupting. Stop it.
You know, I guess. You know, it's interesting. Your whole concept of bullying, I hope everyone just has seen how this has worked. Because you are exactly that. Exactly what you say you're not.
All right, more ad hominem attacks, okay? I'm tired of the ad hominem attacks. We're going to move on. One of the issues is the quality of life in Kenosha, and policing has been raised in the campaign. I'd like to start by asking Mr. Andranian what he plans to do about policing in the future, and ask Mr. Johnson about his plans.
Well, one of the things that we're looking at doing is getting back into the neighborhoods. And policing is not just law enforcement in the neighborhood. It's how you deal with the whole neighborhood. It's how we do projects within the neighborhood. So an example would be is that we definitely started beat patrols back when I was mayor. We got funding from federal grants, and we expanded the program, and we kept those going for many, many years. We put the bicycle patrols in. We also put in the liaison officers in the schools. Those are the things that were implemented during my time, and those are the types of things that...
Support comes from the Racine Symphony in concert Sunday, March 6th at 3 p.m. in the Francis Bedford Concert Hall at UW Parkside, featuring Francis Bedford herself at the harpsichord performing Bach's Brandenburg Concerto No. 3. For tickets, visit racinesymphony.org.
This is pianist Mitsuko Uchida to play Schubert's Impromptu No. 4 in A-flat major, a request from Joan in Appleton.
Thank you.
Schubert's Impromptu No. 4 in A-flat major, played by pianist Mitsuko Uchida. That was for Joan and Appleton, who first heard this performed by pianist Catherine Kotsky, who is on the faculty at Lawrence University in Appleton. And Joan was just blown over by that performance and was hoping that we had a recording of Ms. Kotsky performing this work. Unfortunately, we don't, which is why I picked Second Best. Hope you enjoyed it, Joan. This next request comes from Gil and Willard, who was listening to Morning Classics and heard this performance featuring oboist Alex Klein performing one of the oboe concertos by Antonio Vivaldi. And so after that performance, Gil told me that he went online to find out more about this performer. And Gil says that at this point, he read that Alex Klein is regarded as the best oboist in the world. And looking at his bio, I can understand why you have read that, because he has such a background, including, and there's too long to mention right now, but he has won two Grammys in 2002 for Best Instrumental Soloist with an Orchestra, as well as performing an oboe concerto with another orchestra. Quite an accomplishment. Here he performs the oboe concerto in D major with the New Brandenburg Collegium. Vivaldi's Oboe Concerto in D Major, performed by oboist Alex Klein with the New Brandenburg Collegium, the conductor Anthony Newman. The final request comes from Don in Oshkosh, who said that because yesterday was March 4th, he'd like to hear a Sousa March, the March Wisconsin Forward Forever March. So I asked Don, okay, yesterday, March 4th, why are you requesting this? He said, because it was March 4th. Because March 4th. And he kept repeating that. Well, my mind wasn't quick enough at that moment, but it finally figured it out. March 4th. Here it is.
Thank you.
Concluding today's Classics by Request program with the Wisconsin Forward Forever March by John Philip Sousa. That was conductor Keith Bryan directing the Royal Artillery Band. And want to remind you to get your requests in early if you can, since it's still the opera season. You can either send a postcard or letter to Classics by Request, Wisconsin Public Radio, 821 University Avenue, Madison, 53706, or online anytime. Just go to our website, wpr.org. I'm Ruth Ann Bestman. Thank you so much for joining me. Have a wonderful weekend. You've been listening to Classics by Request on Wisconsin Public Radio.
This is Norman Gilliland. I'll be aboard this fall when WPR Travel follows in the footsteps of Mozart, Bach, and Beethoven with a cruise along the Danube River. A full day and night in Budapest awaits on the eighth day of our trip. An afternoon tour of the Franz Liszt Memorial Museum includes a concert, and a special evening cruise includes a performance by a Hungarian folklore group. A full itinerary for our October Blue Danube trip with Earthbound Expeditions is available at wpr.org/travel.
Wisconsin Public Radio is a service of the Wisconsin Educational Communications Board and the University of Wisconsin Extension, with additional financial support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and from listeners through the Wisconsin Public Radio Association.
You're listening to WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva, your gateway to public radio.